This Get Made. Hey, everybody. Welcome to a mini episode of How Did This Get Made? I am your host, Paul Scheer, joining you for the next, 10, 15 minutes to tell you everything that you might have missed from last week's episode of Jupiter Ascending. And believe me, there was a lot. I've been combing through the corrections and omissions board for a very, very long time. Also, I'm going to tell you everything you need to know for next week's episode, which is a real doozy. But before we get to any of that, I want to call out a very important fact. This week, How Did This Get Made went mainstream because we were an answer on Jeopardy. And not just any answer, we were a daily motherfucking double. No shit. When Alex Trebek says your name, your life changes. That's it. I'm going to be in a helicopter now, fueled by champagne and hanging out with cool people that wear scarves all the time. That's right. I'm going Hollywood now that we were on Jeopardy. Here, take a listen to how it all went down on Jeopardy.
Podcast for Tom Hudgett.
How Did This Get Made? Wondered how the films Leprechaun in the Hood, Genie, and This Too, Cruise Control, got made. Tom, but it's speed. Yep.
Amazing. How Did This Get Made? We now are in the echelon of people that have made themselves Jeopardy answers or questions, whatever the fuck it is. Okay, here's the deal. We have a very important event coming up this August on the 29th. We will be live in Los Angeles at our LA home, Largo. You can go get tickets at largo-la.com. Get tickets for the late show. The first show already sold out. Why is it sold out? How come you guys didn't know? We announced it on our Twitter and Facebook pages. So if you have not signed up to Twitter and you're not following us on Facebook, you got to get on that or you will not get the sweet seats to the LA shows. It's going to be a really fun shows. I'm actually getting some really cool people together right now. Hopefully it will not fall through. And it might be the live version of an episode that you guys have been asking for a very long time. But I'm going to leave it at that. All right. Let's talk about next week's episode. I'm going to bring you guys back to the year 1991. Pizza was cool. Turtles were even cooler. And Shredder was still a dick. We're talking about the 1991 almost classic Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. The only movie that has a title where they don't actually tell you the secret of the ooze. I'm going to, spoiler alert right there. We will not find out the secret of the ooze. Basically, you know the same amount about the ooze before and after you see this movie. But here you go. Take a listen to the trailer.
New York, a city where 8 million can scarf down their slices in safety, knowing that when pizza is close by, help is never far away.
Any luck finding a new place to live yet?
Well, you know, in this market, it's actually very difficult to find good subterranean housing.
You'd think even an idiot could find a place down here.
But no!
And I thought all the really good dungeons were in Europe.
The past returns, my son.
Hey, guys, look! That's the canister that had the ooze.
That transformed us all.
Yes. Well, you're the last one, aren't you?
Uh-oh.
Look, some animals are knocking down the telephone poles.
Let them get their own cab.
The next fight will be freak against freak.
Take the ugly one!
No, you take the ugly one!
Oh, which one's the ugly one?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Cowabunga!
The Secret of the Ooze.
Don't forget, we're turtles!
That's right. The turtles are back, and they are more PG than they've ever been. Just a heads up, when you watch this movie, you'll go, wait, I thought turtles were like really cool. The first movie they were. The second movie they were bowing down to parents' councils about violence. These turtles don't use any of their weapons, okay? The most violent weapon in this movie is Vanilla Ice's rapping, okay? So definitely check out Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze. We'll get the 3 eventually. Don't get your panties in a bunch. And if they are in a bunch, just straighten them out. Okay, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. It's available on Amazon, iTunes. You know how to find this shit. Okay, everybody, moving on to last week's episode. It was a doozy, Jupiter Ascending. There are things that we couldn't possibly cover, even if we talked about it for 6 or 7 hours. And there are things that we totally just made mistakes on. And you guys were there to catch us and look at us and be like, haha, I'm better than you. Now you listen to me. It's a time for the part of the show we like to call Corrections and Omissions. Hit the theme.
Oh, I got shit wrong. I left shit out. It's Corrections and Omissions.
Corrections and Omissions are compiled from the Earwolf message board. If you would like to leave a correction and omission, you could just go after the episode to the message board and leave it right there. We have tons of them this week. Literally tons of them. I don't even know where to begin. I want to read them all. But let's start out with one of our favorite people, Cameron H. Cameron H gets us started off with a real thinker of a piece here. Cameron goes, Mr. Leonard brought up that Kane's name is really on the nose, which is something that I noticed as well. I brought this up on the mini-sode thread, but I had a good chuckle when I realized that Kane was just canine without the extra N. Not to take credit for another person's observation, but fellow poster Lando then pointed out that Sean Bean's character's full name is Stinger Apine, or Apian, the Latin term for bees. But the on-the-noseness doesn't stop just at the names. When I was watching this movie early on Wednesday, I had my back briefly turned to the screen when the bounty hunter shoot out at the fertility clinic, and I heard the distinct sound of a dog barking. When I turned back around, I realized it wasn't an actual dog barking, but rather the sound that Kane's gun made whenever he fired it. Bravo, Jupiter Ascending. Bravo. Holy shit, that was something we totally missed. Yes, the names are on the head, but the dog barking gun? Why wasn't that a toy? I would buy that toy in a heartbeat. Some Jupiter Ascending merch. Get me that roof, roof laser gun. Oh, man, I would love that. Cameron also brings up a point about the gene splicing. He's like, I get it. You want to create a warrior to protect the queen, you merge him with a bee. You want to get a guy who is a good hunter, tracker, you merge him with a wolf. And both these guys don't look too much like bees or wolves. I mean, you know, Channing has the ear, and but you know, Sean Bean has nothing that makes him look like a bee. But he goes, I question the idea of the elephant as a pilot. Who says an elephant is a good trait as a pilot? And why is this guy's whole head an elephant head? It feels like they really haven't figured out this gene splicing, or just don't pay attention to how it's been set up in the movie. Cameron H, 3 great points. And I'm going to just answer this point by saying, yeah, nothing in this movie makes sense. It's almost like everyone just did their own thing, and then at the end of the day, they're like, fuck it, it's sci-fi. Nate Kiley, who does all the research for this episode and all the episodes, told me that if you look on page 7 of the forums, you'll find a GIF or GIF, however you guys want to debate how you properly say it, of Channing Tatum rollerblading because he was actually on rollerblades. That's right. Channing was on rollerblades for this entire movie. Oh, man. So check out page 7 of the forums. You can see that picture, too. And Arrogance writes, Channing Tatum straight up has a dog penis. Whoa, wait, what? She goes, when Jupiter tells him she's falling for him, he replies that he has more in common with a dog than he does with her. My reading of this line is him telling her, not only am I not good enough for you, but I also am genetically and physiologically incompatible with you because I have a dog penis. So at the end, when they do get together, he's going to have to whip out his red rocket out of his furry little sheath to bang her with his dog penis. That was literally all I could think about for the rest of the movie after that line and wondering whether or not it still counted as bestiality. Wow. And I think that you and Jason should get married. Holy shit. Great point. And now I am disturbed. Very, very, very disturbed. Okay. A lot of people brought up the fact that there is absolutely no reason for Jupiter Jones to be sharing her money with her crazy cousin. Like, why is he getting 2/3 of what she makes from this donation? He had literally nothing to do with it. Like, he didn't do anything. That was brought up by Lando. Let's see here. Cameron H. Oh, I'm going to get to him again in a second because there's other people. Cameron, wait your turn. Wait your fucking turn. Roy Coder brings up a point. I have a real problem with the whole harvesting humanity thing. The Abraxas family seeds the earth with humans and just waits 100,000 years or so to harvest. There are around 7 billion people alive on Earth right now, but it's estimated that 108 billion people have lived and died on it. That's 101 billion people they didn't get to turn into a fountain of you goo. It's an unimaginable fortune they're just ignoring. Shouldn't these planets be set up like actual farms and just process humans once they reach a certain age? Or why not harvest a planet after a certain amount of time, like every 100 or 1,000 years or whatever, and then reseed it, harvest again, and repeat? Shouldn't the Abraxas family just intervene in the major events of humanity by preventing wars, disease, and pollution so their products don't kill each other off and are nice and healthy when they process them? Yes, Roy, these are all good points, but again, I'm going to draw you back to what I said originally. No one gave a shit about continuity. Okay, Being All Fishies writes, here's an omission. I noted that this is the second How Did This Get Made film, Godzilla being the first, where it seems like a character in the movie got their hands on the actual film footage. Okay, when Eddie Redmayne's character is watching the hologram replay of the egg donor clinic, he's watching the last scene of the movie, Spaceball style, okay? No one was there. That's not something from the alien's point of view. The actual movie is what he is watching. Being All Fishy also points out, I should point out, because June wasn't there too, that no one in this movie understands how a maxi pad works. The blood absorbing side is not the same side as the sticky side. That would be very painful. Well, thank you for that. And I think it's sexist for you to say that only June understands how maxi pads work. We can all appreciate how maxi pads work. And maybe I do too. I know some stuff. I know some stuff, not that much, but you know what? You're right. June probably would have brought that up. Artobot 5000 goes, hey everyone, I'm new. Has anyone mentioned the zero gravity orgy that Titus Abraxas is in just randomly in the movie? It's very strange, but I guess it was meant to introduce that the character's a ladies' man. Yeah. He was in like some sort of vampire, like Dracula fuck circle. Super weird. So unnecessary because it doesn't help with anything. David CB writes, I kept on thinking this movie is Dune plus Made in Manhattan. Yeah, that's actually a very good way to describe this movie. Dune meets Made in Manhattan. And I'm going to read that one last. I'm going to read this one over here. Okay. All right. I got a lot. I'm going through. You guys are listening to me juggle it here. Okay. Cam Burt writes, I think it's needs to be noticed. The wedding scene looks like it's on some sort of grand church with these massive stone pillars and arches. However, it's still on Titus's spaceship. It's not a separate building or even some planet. It's on his spaceship. Titus built a church hall in his spaceship with giant stone pillars. How do we know it's all stone? When King crashes through the wall, the sound effect is of crumbling stone and we see debris of broken stone. No metal or anything, just stone. Also, if Kane is crashing his ship through the wall of the church, wouldn't that create some sort of vacuum and suck everyone out to space? Again, Cambert, I'm going to say no one cares. I do, but no one making this movie cares. And he said, yeah, because the oxygen would be sucked out. Or did the ship just perfectly plug it up? I don't know. And why did Titus build a stone church with statues on the front of his ship? So many questions. So many questions indeed. Lando just underlines, and I know we talked about Lando before, but he underlines the fact that this woman, Jupiter Jones, needs to buy a $4,000 gold-plated telescope. She can't see Jupiter from Chicago. It makes no sense. Why doesn't she just buy an old telescope on Craigslist or something? Oh, yeah. So dumb. So dumb. Cameron H. will go back to him. He goes, I have a couple questions regarding the youth goop. Why do they allow themselves to age all the way to middle age before hopping in the bath? Based on what we saw in the movie, I'm sure their supply isn't actually limitless. I mean, they seem to have enough they can make it a daily ritual. Why not just be young all the time? My other problem is when Kalik tells Jupiter, it's as easy as changing a light bulb. But I have two problems with this analogy. For one, isn't taking a bath fundamentally easier than changing a light bulb? Why even bother equating to how easy it is when you just saw how easy it was? Also, there would be a joke that why in this universe do they know how to change light bulbs. I mean, we're in a universe of highly advanced gene-modifying artificial intelligence creating faster-than-light traveling space vampires, and they're still using 60-watt light bulbs? Not only light bulbs, but light bulbs that still blow out? What do they do? Go to Space CVS and pick up a pack of four? Go to the store in the laundry room and just have a case of bulb blows? Guys, you get Cameron getting into this light bulb theory a bunch. And then, yeah, so, I mean, you got it. We don't need fucking light bulbs. We get all that stuff. And finally, there were a couple defenders on the message boards. People just, I like this movie. And Nonesuch writes a very compelling argument about why this movie is good, but at the end sums it up by saying, perhaps the best way to put it is this. Jupiter Ascending is the butchered theatrical version of an epic 1980s space opera anime that never existed. So it's a sprawling 12-hour story compressed into a 2-hour straitjacket. It's bursting at the seams, and while I absolutely understand why it failed to connect with the majority, it totally worked for me. I love it to pieces, flaws and all, and wish more films would shoot for the stars like Jupiter Ascending did. And I think we agree with that. And there's, he actually makes a very good point. But if we're going to reward someone for being very thorough and coming up with an idea that was not ever brought to our own mind, we're going to bring it up to Ann Arrogance, who brought up the amazing theory that Channing Tatum has a dog fucking penis. Cameron H., you get second place, as always, killing it with your things. But the dog penis, wow, I'll never look at this movie the same way again. Holy cow. All right, let's get on with it. Would this movie be better with Nicolas Cage? That's the question we're going to ask right now. Wow, good question. Would this movie be better with Nicolas Cage? I don't know. It's a tough one to kind of bring because I do feel like the casting in this is pretty great. Eddie Redmayne does a really good job. Jupiter Jones, great. Kane, great. I'm going to go out here and say no. This movie has enough energy, performance power that I think Nick doesn't need to be in this movie. Would he have made it better? Possibly. But I'm going to say I love the cast. Stephen Hawking up in this movie. He does it up good. So that's my answer on that. Stephen Hawking better in this movie than Nick Cage, because that's the part that I would see him in. I could see him as Kane too, but no. This movie is perfect as is. I wouldn't change a fucking thing. All right, now it is time for Paul Shear's picks of the week. These are my picks of the week. These are things that I'm recommending to you that you may or may not like. How about that? Okay, my pick this week is Google Cardboard. That's right. All right, here's the deal. Virtual reality is coming, people, and we need to get in front of it. I got one of those little cardboard things you can get on Amazon.com. It's like $19, and it's like a viewfinder, old school viewfinder. You can put your iPhone in it. I have an iPhone. I don't have one of the other cooler things that you can put an Oculus Rift on. So I got this thing, put my iPhone in it, and it is amazing. I downloaded this app called Versus. It's V-R-S-E. Put your phone in there. You're live at a Paul McCartney concert. You're live at SNL 40. You're flying above New York City. There's horror movies that are coming out that I actually did. It's awesome. Check out VRSE. That is the app for the iPhone. Get that Google Cardboard and start living your life virtually. I guarantee you, you will like it. It's super, super fun and addictive. And it's really fun to make other people put it on. And then you watch them walk around your house like a dummy. All right. That is my pick of the week. Suck it. All right. Here we go. We are now heading into questions and answers. You ask me questions. I give you answers. I also butcher your names. Hit the theme. All right, here we go. Starting off with Matt Leaf. What happens in my fridge when I shut the door and the lights go out? Dude, if I was to tell you that, I would wreck my Pixar movie. That's right. I'm making a Pixar movie about all the condiments in the fridge. It's about a lone bottle of ketchup who's new to the fridge, and he's meeting up with the old mayonnaise, who's kind of the king of the roost, and the eggs, which are kind of fly-by-night army brats that are just here today, gone tomorrow. It's about the community. It's essentially an apartment building that lives inside your fridge. Oh my God, why am I telling you this? I should be talking to Pixar right now. Nick Nickish writes, F, Mary, Kill, Arnold and Jr., Arnold and Hercules, Arnold and Batman and Robin. Okay, great question. You got to kill Arnold and Batman and Robin, only because the freeze power, if he ever got mad at me, he would freeze me. I got to get rid of him real quick. Arnold and Hercules, I feel like that's the guy that I'm going to want to fuck. He's going to be a good time, crazy night, whoa, blow my brains, like, well, maybe technically, I guess. And then who am I going to marry? Arnold and Jr., because you know what? He has that sensitive side now. He's opened himself up. Yes, he's a scientist. He's smart. He's bringing in the money. He's a good dude. Johnny Flores writes, should I fire my accountant for recommending I invest in pound signs instead of hashtags? Oh, yeah. You should fire your accountant because he's actually having you invest in emoticons and stuff like that. That's not real investment material. I mean, if you came over to me, I would get you on a whole different plan. I would get you on... really getting top quality. I mean, I'm talking top quality Snapchat, people like who are the hot people on Snapchat? I'd get you in there. I'd get you to be investing in them. It would be really good. Listen to me. Fire your accountant. Come over to me. We'll talk about GIFs or GIFs, however you want to say it, and we'll get you some high quality, what are those? Bit emojis. We're going to get you a lot of bit emojis. You got to invest in some high quality bit emojis. Jason Cromer writes, how many roads must a man walk down before they call him a man? Depending on the size of the road, 17. Helen Williams Chaffins writes, my son Alex wants to know why you never say his name on the show. Because Alex once offended me. That's right. Alex and I were at Subway. And when I ordered avocado, he looked at me and he said, just have guac, man. Just have guac. No, that's not the reason. I'm lying to you. No. Alex and I go way back. We murdered someone together. And to even talk about him like this, I guess, oh shit. Did I fucking just spoil it? Okay, forget I said this. Forget, erase this, erase this, delete this. Tony Rage Rodriguez writes, why is Disneyland's castle so little? Well, that's easy, Tony. Walt Disney was a very powerful man, and he was a tough guy to be around, but he's also very short. So by making the castle short, he felt tall. So it was all an illusion. Everything in Disneyland... Oh, my phone's ringing, guys. Exciting. Very exciting. You get to see how that works. But basically, that's the whole reason that Walt Disney was small. There you go. Wrecked my whole flow there. But guess what? I'm not editing it out. Mad Pete Trulio writes, if you were to fight a tiger, what would be my first move? Kick to the balls, man. Fight a tiger, kick to the balls. That actually goes to my other question here. It goes, Jeremiah Koch writes, would you rather fight a horse-sized Jason or 100 duck-sized Jasons? Horse. I'm going to take the one horse versus 100 ducks. 100 ducks, that's a lot of ducks, man. A lot of ducks. And keeping on the duck... wow, really connecting here. Larry Frederick writes, do you think Donald Duck is jealous of Mickey Mouse? Fuck yeah, man. Mickey Mouse is allowed to wear pants. You know that Mickey's behind that Donald Duck not wearing pants. He's like, yeah, I'm the lead guy and that guy doesn't get to wear pants. Goofy wears pants and Goofy's Mickey's fucking dog. Donald's his friend. Everyone else wears pants except for Donald. And you know that Mickey behind the scenes is like, no pants for Donald. But then like to his face, he's like, Donald, I know. I don't know why you don't wear pants. We're trying to get you in the pants. Mickey's a fucker. And Wancho Siegel writes, I noticed that June uttered bonkers on Grace and Frankie. Was that in the script or an improvised homage to Jason? Guys, sad to say, that was not improvised. That was in the script. But maybe one of the writers is a fan of the show and they put that bonkers in for you. I don't know. We don't know. But that reminds me to tell you to watch Grace and Frankie. It is on Netflix. Be on the lookout for my new Marvel comic on the shelves early July. It's Guardians of the Galaxy Team Up, Ant-Man and Drax. Definitely check that out. And buy your tickets for the Largo show. Go to largola.com. Definitely get the tickets over there. And follow us on Twitter. At HDTGM. Get us on the Facebook page so you get the first people to see tickets and see all that availability. Thank you to Jeopardy. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for your comment. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for everything. Oh my God, it's been a long time. And next week is going to be even better when we watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. Spoiler alert, there is no secret. The ooze is just, we will never know. All right, bye. Bye, guys and gals. See you later.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf dead.